Again, welcome to all whom we have with us today. As was mentioned in the announcements, we do have some visiting, and we are glad that you are with us, and we do want to invite you back at every opportunity that you have. And as was also mentioned in the announcements, our gospel meeting with Brother Jared Bronger begins next Sunday morning at this very hour. And if you are in the area, we would certainly be honored if you would be with us during that time. We need to be making our final preparations, praying for the success of this effort. If we have opportunity, invite your friends and your neighbors throughout this week. And of course, strive to be here each and every service to the absolute best of your ability, for that is what is needed. And that's the way you're going to be built up. That's the way you're going to be edified and strengthened in this particular effort. May God be glorified in what we do, as is always our desire, as the Lord's body here in Bellflower. We continue our study of dealing with the one another passages in the New Testament. Over the course of the past month and a half or so, we have been emphasizing how as brethren, we have a responsibility to be concerned about each other. And of course, that's a part of our theme that we've been emphasizing throughout the year, our responsibility toward others. The life of a Christian is not just about you getting your way, you doing what you want. It is about God. And it's about serving God the way that He would have you to serve Him. And that's why we have been over the course of the past several weeks, and we have a few more of these, we've been noticing these, the one another passages in the New Testament, which typically describe the way that we are to treat each other as brethren. If the Lord's body is to be what God wants it to be, then we need to care about one another. We need to be willing to exhort one another. We need to love one another. We need to be there for one another. And as we're going to deal with in our lesson this morning, we need to be willing to edify one another. And that's what we want to talk about for a few moments this morning. Now, I will say, when it comes to the idea of edifying one another, and in particular what the word edify means, there is some confusion in the religious world and even among brethren. There are some who see in the concept of edification the idea of catering to what you would describe as the whole man, taking care of and providing for not just the spiritual needs of one another, but actually making a part of the Lord's body to entertain one another and to be there for one another and to provide for social needs and physical needs. And my question is that really what the work of the church is? And is that really what edification in the Bible is about? And so this morning we're going to talk about what it means to edify one another, but we want to spend a little bit of time identifying what the Bible says edifying is about, or what edification actually involves. First of all, this word edification is from this Greek word oikodomeo, and it's a word that as a part of it, it means a house. And it's the idea of building a house, if you will, and that's the literal description of what this particular word is. And as I understand, it was a commonly used word in this way to describe building something. You know, for example, in Luke chapter 6 and in verse number 48. Jesus there gives the parable of the wise and the foolish men who built their houses. And the idea of that is this word, or oikodomeo, that we are dealing with here. And in Matthew chapter 21 and in verse number 33, it talks about a man building a tower, his vineyard and various things that he does for the vineyard, and he builds a tower within it. So that's the actual usage of the word as it was originally intended. However, when we look at it from a biblical standpoint, we need to make sure that we use it within the context that it is intended. And biblically, and if you look up biblical scholars who define this word, they are quick to clarify that there's a difference between this idea of a physical structure or physical building and building in another way. As particular, one of the Greek English lexicons, after describing this first literal usage, talks about building in a symbolic sense or in a transcendent sense. And what that actually implies is the idea that it is referring to a spiritual building. Something other than a physical structure, if you will. For example, in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse number 18, when Jesus asks the apostles who men say that I am, and Peter, along with the others, declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not John raised from the dead. Not one of the prophets. Not Elijah. And Jesus says, blessed are you, Peter. Flesh and blood is not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say to you, you are Peter, and on this rock, that is on this statement that you have made, I will build my church. And that's a form of this word, oikodomeo, that is used here. I will build my church. Now, was Jesus talking about building a physical structure? No, he was talking about his spiritual body, which was going to be built. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 5, Peter says, you as living stones are being built a spiritual house. And that's a good description. We're being built into a spiritual house. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, Paul there says in that text, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. And here's that term as it is used to describe what we are. We're a spiritual structure, if you will. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, and incidentally that word for builder that is used there is actually the Greek word from which we get our English word for architect. And he says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. And those two last words for build are this same word here, this oikodomeo, the idea of building something. And so we are to be building something when we think in spiritual terms. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 21, you read in that particular text where Paul talks about in whom the whole body, or in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are being built together for the dwelling place of God and the Spirit. The building and being built together are based upon this word that we are talking about. So that's the idea of spiritually building something. But it's also used in a third sense, and that is the idea of building us up spiritually. The idea is that of us of building each other. And again, this the BDAG, which is the names of some Greek scholars who together put together a Bible dictionary, it defined this as to help improve ability to function in living responsibly and effectively, to strengthen, to build up, to make more able. And that's descriptive of the idea of what we are as the Lord's body and what we are thinking about. It means building us up in our faith. Building us up so that we will be morally pure. Strengthening us in our knowledge of the Word of God. That's the idea of edification as it is used in Scripture. That's the idea of edification when we talk about edifying one another. And when we talk about the body of Christ as edification. Because you see, edification is a work of the church. It's one of these things that is described as the work of the church. Along with worshiping God, which in some places, in some okay, or in some circumstances, is placed under the category of edification. But I think it stands by itself, even though edification is a result of properly worshiping God when we do what we're supposed to. And there's evangelism or reaching the lost. And then there's benevolence, which the Bible does give instructions concerning benevolence where the church is concerned and gives us limitations as to what we can do, where we can do it, and how we can do it. But it is a work of the church. For example, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse number 12, you find in this particular text where Paul is dealing with basically our conduct in our worship to God, and he makes the point there, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Let it be for the building up of the body of Christ. And when you worship God, let it be about building us up in the faith, or spiritually. Again, in verse number 26, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each has a psalm, a teaching, a tongue, a revelation, an interpretation? Let all things be done for edification. Let all things be done in order to build you up. And then there's another passage in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse number 16, and we're going to look at this context in just a few moments. But Paul makes the point here, he says, when the whole body, and as you look at the context, that's dealing with the Lord's body, the church, the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The building up of the body of Christ. And one thing you will learn from this context is it's dealing with teaching each other. It's dealing with becoming grounded in the Word of God. And when it comes to the work of the church and edification, that is something that we need to clearly understand. That is the work of edification where the church is concerned. Building us up spiritually. Building us up as the body of Christ so that we can, so that we're ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. So that we can identify and deal with false doctrine and false teachers. So that we can grow to maturity as children of God and be able to rightly divide the word of truth and various other descriptions such as that. One thing we need to understand, that edification and the church, that it's not about the place where we meet. You know, it's not about a building. The building is simply an incidental to our coming together as the church. It's providing a place where we can come together and worship God. And the fact that in Scriptures we are commanded to assemble together gives us authority to do what is necessary to provide a place to assemble together and to worship God. But when you study the word church in Scripture, it's a word that describes the members of that body. It's talking about Christians. It's talking about saints, saved, those who have obeyed the gospel, that join themselves together, and if we talk about it locally, they join themselves together in a given locality to do the work that God has given them to do, including building each other up. So it's not the building. But something else that we need to understand when we talk about this is edification in the church is not about catering to and building facilities for social needs. And by social needs, what I mean is things that are not related to building us up spiritually. Building us up in the Word of God. Study the Scriptures, and you will find in the first century, you will find in the New Testament, nowhere is the church involved in providing entertainment for Christians or non-Christians. Nowhere is the church involved in providing meals for Christians. It's not about physical meals. You don't read in the Bible about whole life centers or fellowship halls or things like that. That's not found in the Scriptures. And typically what's associated with that is when somebody defines talks about a fellowship hall, they're talking about a place where we can engage in activities other than worshiping God. we can engage in entertaining each other and getting together for meals and those types of things. You don't find that in the Bible where the church is concerned anywhere. If you do, show me. And I'm not saying that self-righteously or arrogantly. I genuinely mean that. Show me. Show me in the New Testament where that's what churches did back in the first century. You won't find it there. There's no command, there's no example, and there's no necessary inference that a church provides or participates in these types of activities. Now, I do want it understood that Christians do these things. Christians do care about each other. And we are to engage in social contact. And I've emphasized this on numerous occasions. And perhaps we don't do it enough. But as Christians, you know, Romans chapter 12 and verse number 10 talks about how we prefer one another. And I realize that word in some versions it talks about outdoing one another when it comes to encouraging each other and so on. But the idea is we're there for each other. And I'm convinced that if we are going to grow as a body of Christ, that we're going to want to be with our spiritual family more than just when we assemble together to worship God. How do we get to know each other better? It's by finding opportunities to, if you will, socialize with one another. And I tell you right now that as individual Christians, we ought to do that. In Acts chapter 2, and in verse number 46, you read there where after 3,000 souls were baptized, and it talks about how in verse number 32, they worshiped God, continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And then in verse 46, it says, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and I'm convinced that the reason they would go to the temple is to teach or worship. And breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. From house to house is where they ate their bread together. They came together for meals. They did things together for meals within their homes. You go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, where Paul is dealing with the Lord's Supper. And not only is he dealing with the Lord's Supper, he's dealing with abuses concerning the Lord's Supper. And mainly, one of the things that they had done is they had turned the Lord's Supper into a common meal. And that's why, or as part of a common meal. And as a result of that, Paul does not praise them in them, because he says there in verse number 18, when you come together, I hear there are divisions among you. And in verse number 20, when you come together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. And as I've noted in times past, Paul is not saying that you should not come together to eat the Lord's Supper. He's saying when you come together, what you are doing is not the Lord's Supper. And he explains it when he says in verse 21, for in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and another is drunk. What do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And he goes on and describes the Lord's Supper, what it involves, the emblems that we partake of every first day of the week when we assemble together. So, you know, the point that Paul is making there is, you know what, if you want to eat, do it at home. Verse 34, after he warns about those who do this in an ungodly manner, those who do not have a proper attitude, he says there, in verse number 33, therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. But if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. So you notice in this text how Paul emphasizes that there's nothing wrong with eating. And there's nothing wrong with eating together, but you do it at home. That's not what the church is about. When we consider coming together as the church, it's about building ourselves up spiritually. It's about worshiping God, number one. And in the process of worshiping God, as you read in 1 Corinthians 14, We are edified as a result of that. You know, going back to that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse number 4, Paul there, as he's talking about, and we realize he's talking about spiritual gifts, and that's a whole other lesson within itself. But Paul's, I want you to notice what he's really dealing with in chapter 14 is order in the worship services. When we come together, make sure that you're orderly, that you do things that God wants you to do, the way that God wants you to do them. And he gives instructions in this text. And he says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. You know what Paul's saying there? Edification is about teaching. Edification is about instruction. The reason why tongues in that circumstance doesn't edify the congregation is because it's an unknown language. And others in the congregation didn't know what the one speaking in tongues was saying. So the one speaking in tongues realized that he had a gift from God. But he was the only one that realized that. Everybody else, they're just hearing something they don't understand. They're hearing a foreign language that they've never learned. And that's why Paul said when you come together, unless there's an interpreter, don't speak in tongues. That's about you. Our goal is to edify the church. And he says when you prophesy, which is what? Revealing the message of God's Word. You are teaching. And incidentally, tongues were beneficial when there was somebody that understood because, again, it was teaching. And that's what it was about. But notice how he says there in verse number 4. He makes the point, he who prophesies edifies the body, edifies the church. And that is the goal. And so we need to keep that in mind when we talk about what edification actually involves as the Lord's body. Because you see, among other things, edification is related to the Word of God in a number of different passages. It's God's Word that builds us up. In Acts chapter 20 and in verse number 32, as Paul is concluding his admonition to the Ephesian elders, this is what he says here. In Acts 20 and in verse number 32, so now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I commend you to the word of God, which is able to build you up. Now, one observation I want to make here real quick that I didn't mention a moment ago, you know, when I was talking about the church, and the work of the church in edifying is building us up in the Word. I'm going to address that much more next year. I intend to engage in an in-depth study of what the church is. And we're going to talk about what the church is. We're going to talk about the work of the church. And look at the various areas in which the church is engaged. What we are to do and how we are to do those things. We're going to talk about authority. And what is involved in that. So we're going to address these things in more detail in the near future. But I just wanted us to consider this when we talk about edification. It's about building us up in the Word. And that's what Paul commended these brethren to do. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and in verse number 2, while it doesn't use this word build you up, he does talk about how you desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. The idea of growing there is maturity. And you can look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, and you see that idea in that text of where we are mature, where God's Word is concerned. Now I ask you to turn back to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, here we read the context that leads up to verse number 16. And in this we read, Paul says that He, that is God, Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, or elders and teachers. And I want you to ask, when you look at those different descriptions that are given there, what do they all have in common? I'll tell you what they have in common. Teaching. Every one of those works that is mentioned, every one of those those responsibilities, if you will, are dealing with imparting the Word of God in one way or another. Do you not find it interesting that it doesn't say in this verse that He Himself gave us deacons? They have a different type of a task. These are all related to teaching the Word of God. Now, what's the point? Well, He makes the point that He gave all these things. Some pastors and teachers, notice verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The building up of the body of Christ. Let me ask you according to this verse, how is the body of Christ built up? It's this right here. This is how we are built up. And let's keep reading. Just notice the context. He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to the measure of to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, into Him who is the head, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What is that about? Building each other up in the Word. That's how we are edified as the Lord's body. And when we see edification in Scripture, that is what it is dealing with. That's edification in the body, or in the Bible, as it is taught. So we need to keep that in mind when we consider how we are to edify one another. And that leads us up to the verse that we want to talk about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse number 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse number 11, Paul here says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you are doing. And I believe some versions say to build up one another. And that's the idea of edifying one another. Build each other up because the Lord is coming, and that's the context. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Are you prepared? Comfort each other because He is coming, and build each other up. Strengthen each other to prepare for that day. And there are other passages that emphasize the idea of building each other up. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse number 19. 2 Corinthians 12 and in verse number 19. Paul there says in that text again, do you think that we excuse ourselves to you? We speak before God in Christ. But we do all things, beloved, for your edification. Now, when you look at the context, what Paul is dealing with here is teaching them. We live our lives in such a way, we're willing to sacrifice so that we can build you up, so that you will better understand the Word of God. In our class this morning, we actually mentioned Acts chapter 9 and in verse number 31, where we find after Saul or Paul was converted and everything that resulted in that, it says in verse number 31 of that text, the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. They were built up. They were strengthened. Churches are built up. And again, you go back to what we've already talked about in 1 Corinthians 14, 12 and 16, or 26, where Paul says, let all things be done for edification. That's really what it's about. And that's what we need to keep in mind. So we are to edify one another. And again, when we emphasize the idea of these one another passages, we're talking about us as brethren. We are edified when we come together as the church. But what all is involved when we are building each other up as brethren? Well, among the things that are involved is we are promoting peace. In Romans chapter 14 and in verse number 19, we have here a passage where Paul is dealing with how these brethren are to basically respect one another where it comes to matters of liberties. And Paul isn't saying that you compromise on the Word of God here, but he says that there are matters about which God is indifferent. For example, what you eat. And he uses that as an example. And he says, if you eat something that somebody else doesn't eat, you know, treat each other like brethren in those things. If you think you shouldn't eat something, don't eat it. Don't eat it to the Lord. If somebody thinks you should be eating something, eat it to the Lord. And to put that in context, you know, the Jews did not eat pork, as an example of it. And there were those who had been converted to the truth, following Jesus Christ. But yet, because of the way they had been raised, they did not feel comfortable eating pork. They had problems with eating pork. And Paul says, that's great. If you got a problem, don't eat it. But don't bind it on a Gentile who thinks it's okay to eat pork. And if you're a Gentile, don't look down on a Jew because he chooses not to eat pork. As a matter of fact, think about it. That's kind of one of the points that's actually made there. And he says in Romans 14 and in verse number 19, he says in that text, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which we may edify one another. You go over to chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, where he's summarizing this. We then who are strong ought to bear with the weaknesses of the weak and not please ourselves. Let each one please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. We need to build each other up. We need to be promoting peace as brethren. In addition to that, edifying one another involves promoting growth where the Word of God is concerned from a standpoint of knowledge. And again, we've already mentioned all these passages in Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, where Paul is pointing out that when every part does its share, the body grows. And you know, Paul, another example of this in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse number 4, Paul tells Timothy there, when he talks about how he's to command them, to teach no other doctrine nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in the peace or in the faith. We want things that will edify us, that will build us up, not things that will tear us apart. And he's dealing with the Word of God in that text. He's dealing with Timothy teaching the Word of God and not getting caught up in those things that are not the Word of God, which is the idea of the disputes there. And he describes a number of things in 1 and 2 Timothy. Endless genealogies is an example of that. And I just want you to think about this. When we talk about promoting growth and building each other up, social activities do not strengthen us spiritually. You know, getting together for a meal, and it's a good thing because we can encourage each other. And we can draw closer to one another. But are you going to learn the Word of God with a meal? Are you going to learn the Word of God by getting together and playing basketball or whatever it is that you do? And nothing wrong with those activities. Don't misunderstand me. Don't misunderstand that there's good in those things. But is that really how we are built up spiritually? You know, there are churches out there now that they think that that's what their work is to provide recreation for the neighborhood. To provide for the social needs of the neighborhood. And while those are good works and so on, they don't win souls to Christ. And if you don't believe that, you know, you've got a church that builds the latest and greatest gymnasium over here, and people flock in because they like that. But what happens when the church across the street builds one bigger? You know, how many will go over there because it's later and greater? That's not what the body of Christ is about. And that's the problem with those things. And Jesus had problems with that himself. You know, in John chapter 6, John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27. You have those who are following after Jesus because of the meals that they got to eat. And Jesus emphasizes to them there, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." The only reason you're here is because I fed you. That's what Jesus is saying. And He's saying that me feeding you is not going to save your soul. It's about the Word of God. And that's what edification is about. And as brethren, when we talk about edifying one another, that needs to be our concern. And I will tell you right now that when we as individuals are doing our part to grow spiritually, that's when the body grows spiritually, which goes back to Ephesians 4 and verse 16. You know, we are doing our part to grow in knowledge. And as we all grow in knowledge, which is why we come together to study, the body grows as a result of that. Well, edifying one another involves controlling the tongue. In Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse number 29, Paul says in that particular text there, he says, "Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification." We need to make sure that in our conversations we're building each other up. That's a part of the one another, and we've addressed a number of other things related to that, how we have to guard our attitude and we have to guard the things that we say. Edifying one another involves loving our brethren and caring about them. You remember how we talked about Romans 14 a few moments ago? Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse number 1 in that text, Paul there says, "Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we have all things. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies." And it's in a context where Paul is saying, think about your brethren in what you say and in what you do. And think about how your actions might cause your brother in Christ to stumble. That's really what he deals with over the course of the next few verses. You know, you think about the conscience, not only your own conscience, but the conscience of your brethren. And he emphasizes that even further in chapter 10 and in verse number 23, where he says, "All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all edify." You may have permission to do something, but is it building up your brother? If we are edifying one another, we are going to think about our brethren in what we do. And we will have an attitude like Paul had, where he said, you know, "If food makes my brother stumble, I will never again eat meat. I care about my brethren." And we love each other. When we edify one another, we're going to love each other and be concerned about them. Edifying one another involves proper worship, as we've already emphasized in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, a text that's dealing with worshiping God. And we need to make sure in what we do that we are edifying one another. That's why we make sure that the songs that we sing are genuinely teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know, sometimes I will have brethren contact me and ask, "What are you preaching on tomorrow?" They're about to lead singing and they want to lead songs that are related to the message to help prepare the mind for the message. I appreciate that. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, that's not compulsory and that's not necessary. If you're a song leader, lead whatever songs you want to lead. But here's the thing, they need to teach and admonish, don't they? But we need to be thinking about one another as we worship God. The lesson needs to apply to all of us. Our prayers are for all of us. Everything we do is about building each other up as we worship God properly. And finally, building up or edifying one another, it may involve discipline. And while the word edification is not used in these verses, we need to remind ourselves of our need as brethren to deal with those who are walking out of step. Those who are walking disorderly. And our goal is to win them back. And our goal is to keep the church pure. That's why we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 4 through 7, where you have a church where there was fornication in their midst and they were ignoring it. And Paul says there, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. You purge out the old leaven. You keep the church pure. If we're going to build each other up, we need to make sure that the body of Christ is the body of Christ. And you can't do that if you have impurities in your midst. If you tolerate false teaching. If you tolerate immorality and such things. And if we're going to edify one another, if we're going to build each other up, we're going to strive to maintain the purity of the Lord's body. And that means we're going to strive to maintain the purity of one another. And encourage each other to be what God would have us to be. And so there you have some instruction from Scripture on what it means to edify one another. And what it means to be edified. And may we study the Word of God and seek to understand that in our lives. And be everything that God would have us to be. As we consider one another, may it be our goal to build each other up. Think about it. The lesson is yours. Open your songbooks now to number 644. Trust and obey. In just a moment, we are going to sing this song. At the conclusion of every service, we offer an invitation. We want to give you an opportunity, if you are not right with God, to make yourself right with God. That means if you've never become a Christian, we encourage you today to become a Christian. And it's more than simply believing in Jesus. It involves repenting of a sinful life. It involves confessing Him as the Son of God. And it involves being baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. It involves rising and being baptized and washing away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, as Ananias told Paul in Acts 22 verse 16. If you've not done that, then we exhort you today to become a Christian. Or if you are a Christian and you have not lived true to His Word, repent of your sins. Go to God in prayer and confess your sins. That's what we're told in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse number 9. We confess our sins, He will forgive us. Maybe we need the prayers of the brethren. Maybe we have reproached the Lord's body and we need to make that known. If so, you have opportunity. Or if you just need the prayers of the brethren, we are here. Whatever.